Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're here in the studio today with Tara and Amber and Amanda, and I'm Janelle. And we're going to continue on today in the passage of Matthew 20, 1 through 16. We've been talking about how when we are the workers and we get the rewards, some of those rewards can include wisdom and peace, as we see in other passages, and how God blesses us through that. And I think Tara said that today we're going to talk about the evil eye, and I'm really interested to see what that's going to look like.
You know, I wasn't expecting the evil eye section to be that exciting, but then I did a Google search on it just out of curiosity. I love to, like, research words, and I found something really amazing, kind of fun, kind of crazy, that you just go, oh, okay, that was Jewish tradition in regards to the evil eye. So we'll go into that after we go through the story. You know, I'm so glad that you're back. And we were discussing the fact that when Jesus gave this parable, that he really wants them to understand what they have in the kingdom and that they are called to be in workers. And we ended last time saying that we need to focus on our field and not do the comparison of what my reward is to another's reward, because his rewards are so great. And he promises two rewards in other scriptures in James 1:5 and Philippians 4:4 through 7. We can have wisdom and we can have peace. And whatever our trial, our dark hour, our tribulation, our struggle, our temptation, we can have the reward of wisdom and peace. And he will not deny us that if we're seeking to do that to honor him. And so I want that to be in our mind as we go through the parable today. So anybody feel like they could tell the parable?
I'm not the newbie anymore. Not my turn.
You're so funny. You crack me up. You just tell it in your own words. Anybody feel like they want to do it?
In my own words.
In your own words. So don't feel like it has to be a memorization.
Peer just pressure.
Tell what he did.
Okay, so there was a
landowner.
Landowner.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Put on the spot.
Okay. No, you're good. You're not. You won't mess up. We will help you. You got lifelines with us.
There was a landowner who went out early in the morning to look for laborers to work in his vineyard during the day, and he went to the spot to find the laborers, and he had agreed with them. Said, "Hey, if you work for me today, I'll give you a denarius for the whole day." And so he sent them into his vineyard to work. And then that was about, would you say, like 8 in the morning?
That was at 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m.
Yeah. And then he goes back at 9.
And then he went back at 9 because he needed more laborers, and saw the men standing there in the marketplace. And he said to them, "What are you doing here? Go out. I need more laborers in my vineyard, and I will give you what is fair and what is right for you to work." And so they went out. And then he went out again at about
12 and 3,
and did the same thing and said, "Hey, I need more laborers. Come out and work for me, and I'll give you what is right and what is fair." And then he went out again at 5 with only one more hour to work, and he found more standing idly, and he said, "Why have you been standing here idle all day? I still need more laborers." And they said, "Because no one's come and come to hire us." And he said, "Well, you go also into my vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." And then so at the end of the day, the owner called all of his laborers together, and he said to his steward, "Give them their wages." And he gave to those who had come at the 11th hour, he gave them a denarius, and they were blessed by that. And then those who had come earlier in the morning had thought, "Well, surely if he'd given those who had only worked an hour a denarius, he would give us more." And then when it got to them, he gave them a denarius, and they were upset, and they said, "Why have those who have only worked an hour gotten the same wage as us who have been here all day?" And he said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did we not agree on a denarius for your work?" And he said, "Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you." And isn't it right that I should be able to do what I want with my things and be generous to those? And are you, is it your evil eye because I am good? So the last will be first and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Very good. And I love her translation has the evil eye in it.
Because my
translation doesn't use it. And so that was perfect. And you did an awesome job. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for being willing to be put on the spot. Okay, let's just address the evil eye because it's hilarious. Okay. So on, I wrote it down. Hold on, let me find it because it's written small. On My Jewish Learning, I found information on the evil eye and then on some other sites. Okay. In Jewish tradition, the evil eye, you guys just tell me, what is the evil eye?
Jealousy.
Jealousy, yeah.
Yeah. What does it look like? Radio people, can you see this?
Like the stink eye. Like,
oh, it's like, it's intense when you get the evil eye. Do you know when you're getting the evil eye?
Oh, yeah. It's not very subtle.
It isn't. Okay, so Joseph... Nowhere in Scripture is anything bad said of Joseph. Okay, Joseph was known as the man who had the favor of God upon him. Whatever his circumstances, he seemed to have favor and was blessed. Even in prison, you know, and how things happened, God orchestrated and was on blessing him. So tradition is that the descendants of Joseph still had that favor that Joseph had. And so whenever somebody had the evil eye given to them, they believe, this is just what do they call that, a superstition, that if you take your left thumb and put it on your right palm and your right thumb on your left palm, so it's almost like you got your little fingers up and your fingers down with your palm, your finger thumbs on your palms. It's really fun. I wish you guys could see what we're doing. We're all modeling it in the radio station.
It's entertaining.
That if you do this and you say, I, Tara, the seed of Joseph, will be, let me get the exact words. I just messed up on the words. Hold on. I, Tara, am a seed of Joseph, and over whom this evil eye has no power. And then, so by doing this hand motion and saying this quote, somehow they would be able to avoid the evil eye. Because tradition is, with evil eye, we know that this is not true, but it was believed to have a curse with it. An evil eye was believed that literally that you could curse somebody with what you were doing with your eye. And that's the reason why it's such a big deal when the evil eye occurs. That is where that comes from, is they actually believe a curse would be called upon you. And so they would do this little thumb thing with the palms and say this in order to protect themselves from the evil eye that just occurred by calling upon the favor of Joseph and his descendants, because if they asked to be his seed, then they therefore would be protected from the evil eye. Is that fun? I just love little things like that.
Yeah.
Right, now I want you to think, this landowner, friend, I have done you no wrong, but you have this evil eye. They understand culturally what I just said to you. The evil eye is curse on them because they have something and they're being blessed and I am not. Curse on them because blessing has befallen them. Curse on them because they have something I want and I didn't get it. That's what jealousy does. And that's what is happening in that moment. Rather than doing this, that landowner is crazy amazing. What a gift. Can you believe he blessed them what he promised us for a day? He's rocking their world. I know. That's the son of Simon by the sea. And I know his family, they've been starving. What a gift he's given them to give them a denarius for only an hour. Do you see the difference? And really, honestly, and truly, our human hearts would rather curse rather than bless. Instead of seeing how somebody's generosity is bringing blessing to somebody, we would rather curse them because they didn't do it for us. Mm. And that's really what he's trying to communicate. I'm like, ouch.
Yeah.
you know, that spirit of grumbling and complaining is not something that we need to have. And one commentator said that the friend focusing on the originator of the trouble, he is trying to shame the one who has arrogantly presumed grace upon all. This person's arrogance is demanding something bigger than what has been given. And so that it's an arrogance that comes out of us when we do that. And that our hearts need to be towards God, that when he brings that blessing, we need to celebrate what God has done. And for me, the person I think of the most right now in my life is my brother, Tony. And I love you, Tony, if you happen to be listening to this. And I know I have family that listens to this. I know it'll bless you as well. But my brother, Tony, 3 years ago is when he finally came to know Christ. At 47 years of age is when he finally came to know the Lord. I knew if Tony would come to know Christ, it would be amazing. It would be dynamic. It would be huge. And but it took a long time before he really allowed God to do the radical transformation. He played with believing in God and multiple times would say he had, but his radical transformation didn't happen until 3 years ago. In that time, I don't know how many people my brother has led to the Lord, but it's a lot. Mm-hmm. In a very short period of time. In that time frame, God has given my brother the gift of being able to read and understand Hebrew. Right? I've been to seminary and studied, done like 11 years of education. I haven't studied Greek or Hebrew yet. and yet my brother has been given that gift because he studies the word. All I can do is sit back and go, God, that's incredible. But if I was to have the heart of the evil eye, I could allow resentment or jealousy or why did you give that to him? And praise God, I have not had that happen to me. Mm. But it could be something that could be in my heart. But all I can do is stand back and be in awe of God. That's all I can do because it's crazy incredible. Another example is I have a friend that's a leader in women's ministry, and I've had her come to Grace twice within the last week and share her testimony. And her testimony is a hard testimony of things that she's been through, but she is fully restored and God is moving in a mighty way with her story. And all I can do is sit back and go, God, I'm in awe of you. And so we have to ask ourselves, if I have an eye, meaning within my heart, if my eye shows that inside my heart I have jealousy, anger or strife towards someone, resentment, we know that's not from God. And we need to listen as if that's Jesus looking at us and saying, friend, have I not given you enough and that I died on the cross for your sins that you might, and mm-hmm. I have given you the blessing of where you're at. I'm giving you the gifts and talents I want you to use to affect the vineyard of my kingdom where you're at. And I give you wisdom. I give you peace. Mm-hmm. Who am I to have the evil eye? And that's what we need to be asking ourselves. Mm. Do I do it? Have I done it? Where am I doing it? In what ways am I doing it? I will tell you, in my younger years, it used to hit me all the time. Constantly. I don't even know why it would happen. I can remember a circumstance. It was somebody I was discipling and training up. And all of a sudden, that person reached the point where I'm like, you know what? She's kind of moved past me. And at first, I had like a sense of jealousy occur in me. And I'm like, God, where did that come from? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. God, help me to be the kind of person that when I see, I can literally be the kind of person that takes somebody and say, I want you not to just be where I'm at, but I want you to go 10,000 above and beyond to take kingdom-mindedness and build the kingdom. And that's what he wants in our hearts. He wants us to be where we literally look at the field and we're looking and we're pulling in the laborers and we're bringing them in and we're equipping their talents, we're equipping their gifts, and we are sending them and allowing them to fly for his kingdom.
It's so incredibly convicting realizing that jealousy doesn't just affect us. It's not just, oh, well, you know, I'm jealous, but it's an acceptable sin. It's not really a big deal. Jealousy removes or steals glory from God. if our purpose on this planet is to give glory to God, and our jealousy is saying, God, I don't think that was right, because see, I deserve more than them, and your generosity, it's not working for me here. That's like, it's taking away everything good about God's gift and just completely demeaning it. It's contrary to our very purpose. Like, it's a serious sin, and it's very convicting realizing the gravity of what we're doing when we call, like, when we have an attitude of jealousy towards others.
This is so good. So what I'm going to do is I want each of you to look up, so I know you need to get your phones ready. I want Amber, I want you to go to Song of Solomon 8:6.
Okay.
Amanda, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 13:4. Janelle, I want you to go to Philippians 2:3. And I'm going to turn to James 3, 14 through 15. We're going to actually look at different verses that talk about jealousy. We're not even going to do all of them that I wrote down, because I wrote a lot of them down, because what Janelle has just said is critical. It greatly impacts our ability to take care of the vineyard. Okay? So if you're ready, Amber, go ahead.
Yeah. Song of Solomon 8:6. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame.
Okay. Do we get that? It's as cruel, jealousy, it's as cruel as the grave. Okay.
You said that was Song of Solomon. Sorry,
what was 8:6. Okay, eight. Go ahead, Amanda.
Love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or proud.
Okay, and the arrogant or proud would be where it would fall in some translations in that area. And so if we have that, we are not loving. Okay, we've lost love. Okay, Janelle?
You said Philippians 2:3.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves.
Okay, and then I have James 3:14-15, which says, who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Jealousy is not of God. In fact, Scripture goes far in James 3:14-15 to tell us it's demonic. It's demonic. And he's looking at the worker and he's like, okay, really, friend? I have blessed you and you're going to be upset because I'm choosing to bless. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my business to bless? We're so glad you're listening. You need to come back because we're going to finish this dialogue because this is not done. We're going to look at resentment. We'll look more at what that means for us in the kingdom. God bless.